Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Before we get into our topic, I would like to remind you of the Spring Vision Banquet being put on by Utah Partnerships for Christ. They have asked me to be the keynote speaker at this fundraiser, and I would certainly hope that you could make it out. It's going to be Friday, May 17th at 5:30 p.m. It's going to be held at Mill Creek Baptist Church, located at 1515 East 4500 South in Salt Lake City. That's Friday, May 17th, 5:30 p.m. for Utah Partnerships for Christ Spring Vision Banquet. And we are continuing our discussion with Dave Neely. Dave Neely is a good friend. He's a former Mormon, and he's kind of telling us his adventures of what it was like being a Mormon missionary as he served in the Sacramento area of California. So let's take it from there. Yesterday, we were talking about how you were given a couple of books. One was written by Gilbert Sharps, which was a response to some of the things that were in a very popular film at that time, The Godmakers. Dick Baer, a good friend of mine, was also in that film. It was kind of a setting where they were talking to an attorney about bringing about some kind of class action suit because, in their opinion, the characters were saying that the Mormon Church was not being totally forthright with its history or theology. Now, Dick is a former Mormon who was making the rounds in the Sacramento area. Actually, Dick was going everywhere during that time. He was speaking all over the United States, giving his testimony of why he came out of Mormonism. So you're given this book by Gilbert Sharps, and it's responding to some of the claims that were made in the film, The Godmakers. But yeah. You also mentioned you were given a copy of Answering Mormons' Questions. Okay. And this was supposed to help you know ahead of time what some Christians might bring up as far as rebuttals are concerned.
Yeah.
Did you feel that the questions at the time when you're reading the book, did that sound reasonable, or were you able to argue against what Bill had written?
To be honest, though, there's a lot of them that I can't believe I'm saying this, but made sense to me. But because I was duped at this time, I'd believed it. I was, well, you know, if the prophet says this, then yeah. I believe it.
You were conflicted because it sounded reasonable, but then they're telling you that these aren't reasonable answers.
And no, they were, what do they call that? Sons of perdition, just kind of trying to prevent God's kingdom from rolling forth is basically how it was presented.
I find it interesting, though, because a lot of the seeds were planted for you at that time, because later on you end up converting. We'll get to that probably tomorrow, but just the idea that the ideas that you learned from that book had an effect on you later. So we don't know when we're sharing with somebody if maybe something we say might not stick right there, but maybe it will stick later on. I think that's an encouragement.
That's a good point, Eric, and I want to raise this with Dave. I've often wondered after the missionaries like leave my front room, what are they talking about after they go? I wish I could be a fly on the wall, as the saying goes. Yeah. Were there any Christians that really kind of stood out with you and your partner there that afterwards you're going, you know, well, what do you do with that point? What do you think about that? Did you ever have those kind of discussions afterwards?
You know, I don't think you dared to. Because, you know, if it got back to so-and-so, I mean, there's going to be a rebuttal in other missionaries. You're always afraid of what other people are going to think. Now, the two guys that went to Eric Johnson and Bill McKeever's door, I'm sure, hey, guess what, guys? I went over to Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson's house. Yeah, they're just right by each other. And, man, that's awesome. And then they're like mission heroes because they actually had enough guts to go to this door.
Oh, I got an interesting story on that. When we were in El Cajon in California before we moved to Salt Lake, I had a missionary, a couple of them come to my door, and they wanted to get a picture with me. They didn't really want to talk to me. They just wanted to get a picture. And I asked them, I says, this isn't going to end up on some website where, you know, I was able to convert Bill McKeever or something like that. He goes, oh, no, this is just for personal. I says, okay, no problem. But I wonder, you know, what kind of prestige that might have with some people.
Well, we've met returned missionaries who, when they found out who we were, I served in the area where you were, and apparently they used to drive, because we lived in the same block in El Cajon, California. They would drive down that block on Sundays or whatever and take people from other missions and show them where our house was. And from what we understood, and this was confirmed by one missionary we talked to, they weren't allowed to evangelize on our neighborhood.
Yeah.
After you moved, they started coming back in. So I don't know. It was probably more you than me.
Well, I remember my son, Jamin, was washing the car out in the driveway, and there were two missionaries I saw through a window were going down the street and doing circles, and ended up talking to my son. And I asked Jamin afterwards, I says, what did the missionaries want? He says, oh, they just wanted to confirm that this is where you lived.
But you never had any problems. I mean,
I can guarantee you that my house probably didn't compare to Jeffrey Holland's pool house, but certainly my little 1,050 square foot home that...
It was made in 1957 out of used materials.
Piece of junk. House was a piece of junk. So anyway.
Well, you had a chance encounter with Dick Baer, the gentleman we've been talking about, during your mission. Tell us how you met Dick Baer in Sacramento.
Well, we had some extra money, and so we decided to take this person that we were getting ready to baptize on Sunday to a hometown buffet. As we're kind of talking with him, you know, BRT and little football, little religion, kind of mixing him, you know, making him feel comfortable about doing this, because his family was not very happy about this. He was of a Polynesian Methodist culture that was pretty upset at him. So we're just kind of smoozing things over. Well, in comes this big guy, and he starts chit-chatting with us just like he's a member, and he knew all the right answers to make us think that he was a Mormon.
He knew the lingo.
Yeah. So where are your elders from? You know, just he knew us really well. Well, anyways, he goes, well, you know, let me introduce myself. He said, you know, I used to teach a doctrinal discourse at BYU, and you're thinking, oh, cool. And he associated himself with BYU. And he keeps going, and I was just like, oh, cool. And he goes, but if I ever went back to BYU, I think that I'd be tossed off the premises. I was like, oh, no, you're not one of those Dick Baer followers, are you? Because at this time, I was well-seasoned, and we'd run into a ton of people that had seen the movie, changed their mind about Mormonism, or just, you know, he was doing really well.
You know, for all its faults, that film did have quite an impact in the Mormon community, with Mormons watching that. And it certainly encouraged a lot of Christians to want to share their faith with Mormons. It wasn't a perfect film, but it was used by God to open up a lot of eyes during that time. So anyway, so Dick comes into the restaurant and he starts talking to you.
And so after he says he's Dick Baer,
the alarms go off in the building?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were both getting pretty upset. And he turns his total focus on this guy that's getting ready to get baptized on Sunday and says, you know, I'd like you to hear both sides of this argument, buddy. And he had his card handy, boom, gave it to him. This time I ordered him to leave our table.
You did?
Other things. Yeah, I was pretty upset that someone would have enough gall to do this, and I felt that he was pretending to be a person of the LDS faith and then was like stealing, you know, our convert
but,
there.
But actually, he really wasn't. He just knew your language.
Yeah.
So he was just really, I think, using wisdom and knowing that at least by using the language, you would have to give him at least somewhat of a respect for the fact that he at least at this point studied enough to know how you communicate with each other. But now you find out who he is, and you know that he is certainly not a friendly, according to your viewpoint. Yeah. So he gives this guy a card.
Yeah, and then, of course, this is before the cell phone. You were telling a story earlier where they took their picture with you. I'm sure, was that a camera or a cell phone?
I don't remember. But I don't remember what it was.
We didn't have our camera, so I wanted proof that I actually talked to Dick Baer, and so did this other guy. So we got his card. And as he gave me his card, he wrote down his number, his home number, and he goes, look, I'll tell you what, and I know I didn't come over here to get you all riled up there, big guy, but if you guys ever get the inkling that you want to learn more, I'll be more than willing to talk to you. If you find out that what you're believing is BS, I will give you any book you want to read in the Capital Christian Center. I thought at that time maybe he owned it, but you guys, or Eric was saying he didn't.
No, but that was a common tactic that Dick loved to use at his meetings. He always told Mormons, if they were in the crowd listening to him and they had some serious questions, that if they promised to read the book, he would give them any book that's on the table. He did do that. I've heard him do that many times from listening to Dick.
What happens to this potential convert? He's going to get baptized on Sunday.
He changed his mind.
Wow. Just from Dick's 5 minutes with him.
Well, his dad was a deacon in the church of the particular Methodist, Tongan Methodist. Mm-hmm. So I think he wanted to look at it a little bit more closely, and then he asked us not to call him anymore.
Wow.
That he needs more time to think these things out. And
what are your feelings about Dick after this?
You know, sure. I think I wasn't too happy with him at the time. I'd carried a hatred towards him.
Hmm.
That's strong, but yeah, that was because I'd run into him. And
when I first met you in 2010, I told you who I was, and I was working with Bill McKeever, and you kind of did a step back. Oh, Bill McKeever. You didn't really think much of Bill. And you also didn't think much of Dick Baer. So I had you meet Bill at a lunch one day. I had you, I wanted to get you introduced. And so Bill drives up. What happens in your mind as Bill drives up?
No, see, actually, I wanted to thank Mr. McKeever over here and you know, of course, Dick Baer, because they probably saved a lot of people from, you know, getting baptized. So actually, I owe them my gratitude, but I've always been a competitive guy, and I did lose a lot of people to the name that I associated with, like Bill McKeever and Dick Baer. So I imagine him making tons of money off this answering Mormons questions, driving this big, huge, you know, Mercedes-Benz or this Cadillac around, living in this big mansion. Because, you know, as the mission president, he was living pretty good. You know, he lived in a big house.
Right.
I got called there a few times, not being very obedient. And so I assumed him living in, like, Beverly Hills.
And what did Bill drive up in?
He drove up in this beat-up Toyota pickup truck.
Hey, it's not that beat. He's just old.
And that made you feel good, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did. He's just, you know, he's not making a ton of money off this. That he really wants the people to know that what their beliefs are wrong. The Mormons, that is.
We're going to have to save this for tomorrow, but the conversation we had, we're going to have to talk more, because I think people will like to hear what in 2010 as we met and your reaction, and then a chance maybe to talk to Dick Baer again for the first time in more than a decade.
Yeah, I remember that when I pulled up, you had made that comment about my truck. Everybody gives me a hard time about my little Toyota truck, but I love that truck. So we will continue this conversation tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have dozens of articles and video resources that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live weekend presentation. Remember, we're here to equip the body of Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website. Again, that's MRM.org.